Welcome, welcome one and all to the DL debate. Thanks so much for tuning in. Now live on Highland Radio or back via the podcast. Thank you, the legend Ivan Borden for the Power Hour Plus, Michaela for the news. Joe Dex, as ever, producing, talking fast. I have a lot of stuff to get through tonight. We always run out of time. I think I should start fast, should I? That's the way you want to hit any game. We'll hit the show like that tonight. Folks, a special championship review tonight. Later on the show, Martin O'Donnell will be coming on to give us a lowdown on the ladies' football championship and all the action from the weekend. But first, we are going to go cut across the senior, intermediate and junior. I've got three heavyweights in the studio, and I mean that in like experience.
Clarify that.
The great.
We're easy to put down. He's used to speaking.
It's good to see you up, John. I'll be after.
Listen, show up no matter what the situation is. Back it down.
That, of course, is the voices of Pádraig Hillford, the great Pádraig Hillford, the enigmatic Brendan Kilcoyne, and John Gilday, who got bad predictions. Give us bad predictions last week. Thankfully, got it wrong. John, fair play to you. You're up here. You're not a man to shirk a challenge. John, we'll get straight into it. Actually, what you said, I think, nearly came right in terms of the experience of Niamh Connell, because it did start to count second half when the game went into melting pot. But an overview of the drama of Saturday night.
Yeah, and I suppose going back to your earlier point there, this has probably been my last show. Because as I proved last week, I predicted 4 out of 4, and I was absolutely wrong on all 4. So, you know, what do I know? But no, listen, Saturday night was, you know, ultimately a game of two halves. It was, you know, everything that, every cliche under the sun could be used from it. St. Union's were impressive in the first half. The game lacked a bit of intensity. The crowd was flat. You know, St. Union's had it all their own way. Were very in control. And, you know, I was speaking to people around me at half time and I was saying, you know, Union should have been much further ahead. And I know they were very clinical. I think I heard Niall O'Donnell saying 9 chances created, 7 scored. But I think there was a real opportunity to drive on in that period of time and maybe go 6-7 up. And obviously the game was over at that stage. And I was saying to people at half time, Niamh Connell dangerous to live hanging around. And they were left hanging around. They weren't put away. And, you know, I was despondent at half time because they'd shown nothing. There wasn't a challenge. They turned over ball time and time again. Everything you wouldn't expect from this team over the last 10 years. And I was hoping there'd be a kick at half time. I was hoping there'd be some skin and hair and soul searching at half time. And then obviously what happened was St. Union's had a really good opportunity for a goal. I felt the wrong pass was given and then the opportunity was lost after about 3 minutes, and that would have put the game away. And then the whole game changed in that moment.
Yeah.
And Niamh Connell came into it. They attacked the next 3 times. They didn't get a score the next 3 times, but their intensity level, and driven by Anthony Thompson, who I thought was exceptional. Mm. He was just a delight to watch. And
he was good first half now, John, as well, because he got inside for the free.
Well, he kept him in the game.
Yeah, he
had 2 scores. He drove the whole thing on. Yeah, sheer force of will. And it was, you know, I know... You know, we can talk about lots of players in the Niamh Connell club, but Anthony, you know, deserves special recognition because he kept them in the game when the game was gone, and he dragged them back single-handedly, along with obviously Rorty and, you know, Ethan and all the guys in the second half. And then the game changed, and then Niamh Connell scored 5 in a row, and the whole game changed on his head. And I was saying to Brendan earlier on, if Niamh Connell had gone 2 ahead, you would think, right, the writing's on the wall here, they'll put a stranglehold on it. But in fairness to St. Union's and all the wacky football that was going on, and it was end-to-end stuff and some, as we spoke about earlier, some, shall we say, refereeing decisions that left a lot to be desired on both sides, they found a way back and they kicked an equalising point. Niamh Connell went a point ahead again, and then they found another way of kicking an equalising point. So they showed an awful lot of heart.
Yeah.
Kier Moore... had a big impact on it. Thought he had a really good game. Shane O'Donnell really drove it on at crucial stages. And I thought the St. Union substitutes had a huge impact in the game, particularly Keelan Ward. I thought he was exceptional. He took a great mark. He kicked the ball inside very quickly for another score. And then he was the man that laid on the score for Moore as well. So St. Union subs, I felt, had a big impact in the game. Our subs, not to the same extent. But I think... To be fair, that could be to the fact that we were missing a couple of men already and we had to go into our depth a little bit earlier. But all in all, a great championship match. It was everything we thought it would be. We thought, like, over the last, you and I text on Saturday night, over the last 3 years, there's been a point, 2 points, and a point. Mm. And ultimately, as I was saying to Porrick earlier, we could be sitting here tonight talking about St Union's going for four in a row as easily as St Union's stopped Niamh Connell going for three in a row. There's nothing in between these two teams for the last 10 years. Yeah. And ultimately, this game fell for St Union's, and it could equally as fall for Niamh Connell, as all the other games have.
Yeah, definitely could. Brian, just on that first half, John was mentioning there, Union's, I think we, the whole county, haven't seen bits and pieces, expected Union's to play. Were you surprised by Niamh Connell in terms of, you know, there wasn't a more rigid shutdown or more intensity in their play? Like, they were playing catch-up then. It was a dangerous enough game, I agree with John, second half, but just in the first half, you know, as well as Union's played, were you surprised by Niamh Connell?
Yeah, but I don't think you get a choice in that, Brendan. I think that's just the way that the game plays out, and I think that Union's brought that energy and brought all the football in the first half. And, you know, Niamh Connell, like, you know, I have so much respect for what they've done over the last number of years and the championships they won, and they're so tight and they're so well organised defensively and all that kind of thing. So there was an element of surprise there. But I think, and Brendan, you're involved with St Union yourself, I think Union's management need to take a lot of credit too, in that, you know, there were some big decisions made prior to the game and players that didn't start. And you mentioned Keelan Ward coming on and the decision. Like, Kieran Thompson, Anthony Thompson is their leader, but Kieran Thompson is the guy that has won Niamh Connell these games down through the years. Mm. He's tight games. He's always the man that comes up at the big moments. And, you know, Conor Morrison, putting Conor Morrison on Kieran, I think, was a big and a good shout, because Conor had been marking Charlie McGuinness and they had some massive run-ins in the last couple of years, and all was interesting, but I felt that that was a really good shout. And having the option to bring in, you know, Keelan, Darren Mulgrew and Owen McGeehan, like, Owen McGeehan, you know, he's such a talented wee footballer. He found so much space at that stage of the game when Niamh Connell were set up, and you could, I just watched a clip of it, you could see three, four Niamh Connell men, they suddenly realised he was in 10 yards of space, but just couldn't get to him. He did really well to get that shot away, so he did. So, you know,
How did Brick Malloy get that much space? Now, I know Union's obviously down to 13, but, you know, Units did switch off there too. You know, I just seen a clip back of it there, and I was like, right, boys, hold on a second. This is the last play.
Yeah.
And, you know, there was a late challenge, John. We just referenced it there in terms of, you know, fouls. Right. Before we even get to that, you know, and I think.
Is this 25, going to be a poor me, is it?
25 seconds. Well, we won the match. We can't do poor me, but we're analysing here. Can't do poor me. You could do poor me. Hey. But no, I was looking 25 minutes in the second half. The free count was 10-1 to Niamh Connell. Like, there was such a switch. Now, for years, lads, I've been obviously doing commentary at BBC. You have to be impartial. I try and be impartial. The rest are tough, boy. Don't get me wrong. Uh-huh. The last thing I ever want to talk about. But when it goes so far one way, I mean, the Glenties man said to me today, he said, I couldn't believe what was happening. It just seemed to be free after free after free. And there was that scenario. And the one free then that you maybe could have got, John, which I just look back at the clip, because along with the freeze, you had the extra bit out of time, which seemed excessive. You know, went only 6 minutes 15 from the 4 minutes. I was just trying to see where it was. I know there was a couple of black cards. Sean took a bit of a while kicking the ball out and that, but it just seemed excessive. It looked like that last play was going to happen. That said, Union's obviously had the ball up the pitch, dropped the ball, and up came the Brick. Now, I've seen Brick kick them many times, John. He was about 5 or 6 yards outside the D by the time he hit it. But there was a man coming diving, and I think that was a big thing with Union's in terms of trying to get shots under pressure. But the question mark was, did he foul? And, you know...
Listen, I think it would have been a harsh decision at that stage.
It would have been a harsh one, but if you look at the other frees we're given, it certainly wouldn't have been any worse than what we've seen, you know?
But I do think, listen, as you said, referee's a tough job, and the level of intensity in the second half ratcheted up to a level where it was just manic, right? It was... People were throwing their bodies everywhere. Places that, you know, you and I wouldn't even go. And just, it was real intense. Because I looked at the watch. The ball was thrown at half-time. Union's had a goal chance. Glenties took over for 20 minutes. And I looked at the watch and there was 5 minutes to go. That was the game.
But John, is that not where a referee needs to be, Cam? Now, I know it's kind of hard, right? And there's a lot happening. But, you know, I think that's in where it lies in terms of, for me, when the game's mad like that, he needs to be, you know, on it, you know.
But it's like, you know, when you get a young player there and you throw him into a championship game and you don't know if he's going to sink or swim until he's in the middle of it and lose his head. And I'm not saying the referee lost his head by any stretch of imagination, but the game took on an intensity that he may not just have come across before. Mm. And there was so much riding on it. And ultimately, listen, I know it was 10-1, But then there was other frees, like Niamh Connell got a free towards the end. Oran Doherty got hit in the ankle and started to hop, and he gave the free, and then he hopped the ball, and then he gave a free the other way again. There was all sorts of crazy decisions, and to be honest, I don't think it helped either team. Probably added to the excitement, and it added to the frustration and the crowd and everything.
Your excitement, maybe not, mate.
No, no, I know, but it's yeah. Ultimately, the game came down to small margins, as it has for every game apart from the final 3 or 4 years ago, where Unions blew St Niamh Connell out. But in 10 years, if you look back on this, the score has been 10-9, 11-8. That's the way the games are. And ultimately, it was Unions' turn this time. And I think there was so much hurt and so much pain from the other games that when it really, really mattered, they found a way of actually getting across the line because they needed to. And even though as a Niamh Connell man, I left the game going, oh, you know, we might have won that, or maybe we could have snubbed that. I'm not disheartened because they gave me so much in that second half that the first half wasn't, that I could walk away and go, right, I've seen the way some of the younger lads played, I've seen the way Rorty and those lads played. They're still going to be there for the next 4 or 5 years. So are Unions. This one point here, there and everywhere else is going to continue for as long as we're hanging around. Yeah. Mm. And it's not going to change because they're so evenly matched. And I know new management and you're part of it, which is fantastic. But as I said to Porrick earlier on, we could be sitting here right now talking about Rory Kavanagh going for 4 in a row. Because that's the margin. Mm. And ultimately, we're not, because Niamh Connell were going for 3 in a row and Unions stopped them. And they thoroughly deserved it. They brought something different. They really went at it in the first half. And they found a way to win a game that other years they might have lost.
Yeah.
So 100% credit to St Unions and the management.
Is that the big thing for Unions, Brent, coming out of this in terms of, and I just said to John before we came in here about the game went into an old school type of play. You know, for all the coaching and everything goes on and everything, it really came down to players on the pitch then taking responsibility, taking ownership, showing a bit of guts. And for Unions to be behind twice to a team like Niamh Connell to come out and they actually come and had a winner, it was showed a tremendous amount of guts from them. And as John said, it was a bit of backs the wall. Maybe helped push Unions across.
Oh yeah, certainly. And like even listening to a few of the Unions lads that were interviewed after the match, like they did carry a lot of hurt from them. And that, you know, happens a lot of different teams, so they all referenced that. But it was really pleasing from a Unions point of view that they did weather the storm. And listen, you go 4 or 5 points down in a game, you expend a lot of energy getting back into the game. And when you're playing a quality team, and there's no doubt Unions have a lot of quality in their team, they're going to get their chances and they're going to get another opportunity as the game progresses. And that's really how it transpired, that they did get them opportunities. And, you know, there was the missed goal chance early on that probably could have shut the game down at that stage. But the fact that Unions were able to weather that storm and show the character that maybe was lacking in previous games and other games, if it was maybe it was questioned in other games and other big games against Niamh Connell, but they certainly stood up to it and they found them few moments that were enough to get them across the line on Saturday night. And that's a positive from a Unions point of view, because there is this constant questioning, do they have it to go toe-to-toe with Niamh Connell, with Guidor, and I thought they stood that test really well on Saturday night.
Yep. And listen, folks, whatever happens, we're going to have a unique pairing in the county final after a couple of brilliant victories at the weekend, and Dunloe is one of them against St Michael's. John, you know, coming from a period of, you know, first county finals and doing all that there in terms of the progression of the club, What a chance Dunloe, St Michael's, you know, have now of that opportunity. But first, St Michael's come back against Kilcare. We had a bit of chat out there. Absolutely phenomenal. I mean, Porrick was down. Porrick's going to take it on from here on in the rest of the coverage and look at the semi-finals. But, I mean, I just couldn't believe what I was hearing. Looking at the updates, it looked like game over in terms of that. But the bottle and the building was amazing. Those two games ended up some of their scoreline, 218-13. But I mean, Kilcare, with all their ammunition and power, just shows you, John, momentum, the huge swing, the penalty save and everything that went with it. It was a phenomenal day for them and for the two clubs. But St Michael's first we're going to talk about.
Yeah, and listen, it was a phenomenal weekend for football in general, because if you look at it across the board, the biggest winning margin was 2 points, and then was a point. And, you know, everything was in the melting pot right up to 3 and 4 minutes into extra time. Yeah, so. Yeah. From that perspective, it was great to see. Obviously, it's fantastic for St Michael's and Dunloe. And particularly Dunloe. If you look at Dunloe, like they won the Intermediate Championship, you know, and they've gone on this fairy tale journey into the Senior Championship, and now they find themselves in a county semi-final along with St Michael's. And again, St Michael's are a team that have flattered to deceive over the years. I know they were in the final must be nearly 10, 15 years ago now.
Yeah. 13, was it?
13, was it?
I think so.
And obviously it didn't work their way. And we always looked at St. Michael's and you look at the Christy Toys, the Colin McFadden's, the Martin McElhinney's, and you felt that there was more there, and you thought, are they going to come and could they put it together? And ultimately the St. Michael's time has come in under the radar to a certain extent. Like, there was no expectations of St. Michael's or Dunloe this year, you know, in any regard, and I mean that respectfully to both. And they put on a big show against Kilcare. Obviously, goals played a crucial part in the two games. Kilcare were in total control, missed the penalty, and then a couple of goals, they're back in the game, and momentum shifts. And Kilcare couldn't do what St. Eunan's could do, in the sense of regroup, reorganise, and bring the quality to see out the game. And that was the difference there. And then obviously the other game we'll talk about as well is the Glenswally-Dunloe game, in exactly the same type of situation. Glenswally were opened up in a way that you wouldn't expect from a Gary McDade side, because it's really a defensive first structure. Took their eye off the ball a little bit. Dunloe hit them with two quick goals, and then all of a sudden momentum, young inexperienced side to a certain extent, there's that kind of exuberance of youth, and then all of a sudden you're on an upward trajectory, and the two more established teams couldn't deal with it and got found out.
Yeah, and that's something, I suppose, reflecting on that that game, Glenswally against Dunloe, pressure on Glenswally there as well, and speaking to a couple of people who's at the game, the physical presence of Dunloe was something that they came out of that possibly even more physical than Glenswally. So it just shows, as you pointed out, John, the development, Brendan, of that side over the last number of years. It's really, really encouraging for sides coming up from the intermediate. But Dunloe, once again, they are a championship team from years gone by, and look, they've re-established themselves once again.
Yeah, and I think it's fantastic to see Dunloe back in a semi-final. You know, it's a good number of years since they were competing. You have to go back to when Tony and Eddie and the boys were playing, and Raymond, and you know, they were really, and they were probably unlucky or unfortunate not to push on and win a championship at that time. But I've just read somewhere that it's 1964 since they appeared in the county final, so you can imagine the build up down there this week. It's a pity that it is just a week, that they don't get to enjoy it a bit longer, because it is a bit rushed, like, you know. But like, they're totally there on merit, so they are. You look at the Kern lads, you look at Karen McGee, you look at these type of players, they're all strong physical players throughout the field, so they are. And you know, to take on Glenswally, like at the start of the year, and John said, no one would have predicted, no one in the right mind would have predicted that St. Michael's and Dunloe would be competing in a county semi-final, with one of them having a brilliant opportunity to get to a final. And I think that's brilliant for football, and I think it's great to see teams like that come through. I think it'll encourage other teams, because there's all this talk about top fours and top twos and all this kind of thing, but to see breakthrough teams coming in and the excitement that'll create in their regions over the next week or two is fantastic. And you know, going back to, I know we're flipping over and back here from games, going back to the, you know, Kilcare been totally in control. Like, apparently, you know, you were there, Paris, 9-2, totally in control, playing fabulous football, getting up the field, getting scores, leaders all over the field. And something like a missed penalty. And when you lose momentum in football, it can be really difficult to get it back. And that transpired to be the case for Kilcare, who just, Michael's just kind of steamrolled them then for the last...
It was one of the most strangest games I've covered in a long, long time, because you're going in at half time, you're looking at the score sheet, and you're going, it's 9-2, game over. You know, there's even, I just remember thinking, the ball has just been thrown up here, 36 seconds gone, then another point scored, Warren Dugan. And, you know, that was the flow of the game right up to that actual penalty. So it was a real strange game in that way. But when it shifted, you know, St. Michael's, to their absolute credit, you know, they hunted in packs and, you know, created those opportunities. I remember one aspect of the game, Patrick McBurdy was turned over deep in the St. Michael's defence, and the ball was moved really, really quickly. I think it was Daniel McLaughlin got on the end of it, stuck over the bar. That was 7 points to 12. And as that moved forward, and suppose, John, as you indicated there, or maybe yourself, Brendan, was about St. Eunan's and Niamh Connell would have, you know, resettled themselves, got reorganised, and you know, possibly, or would have seen out that game, and Kilcare will be kicking themselves.
They will, yeah, and you know, I suppose we're coming to the back end, and again, some phenomenal players in Kilcare of that golden generation from a Kilcare perspective that never quite did what we all expected them to do. Like, that was a team with so much talent, the McHughes, the McBertys, like they had everything going for them. I know they took a bad beating by Niamh Connell last year, and I think it just, as you know, when the game runs away from you, there's not much you can do about it. I don't think it would happen St Eunan's or Niamh Connell, because they have enough big victories behind them to just to go stop, or enough maturity within the team. And that was a surprising aspect of the game. There's a hell of a lot of, you know, of experience in that Kilcare team. They have All-Ireland winners, Ulster medals, multiple All-Stars. At 7-8 points up, nobody could have seen it. But it's a huge credit to St Michael's and a never-say-die attitude to go, we're gonna keep fighting here. And when they got the wind in the sails, it was a force of nature, which was fantastic.
And let's look at St Michael's. We've talked about Kilcare. It's all about St Michael's here. The coming into this game without Michael Langan, look, nobody actually tipped them to beat Kilcare, and they came out of it, and came out of it in fashion too, you know. Suppose that aspect of St Michael's, the progression throughout that game, the belief real, Brendan, to continue.
Absolutely, Páraic. And you look at, they went through the group stages, they won the four games. They went down to Mahargallan the last game, and against Gidor. Now, however that game transpired, it doesn't matter. They went down and they got the job done. They came away with the win, and they took great. You could see the pride they took in getting that result down there. And I'd have to say that they were really, really well set up now. They were really well set up defensively. Again, they have a lot of physical big guys. And then you have Michael Langan, I thought was superb that day. But like the Martin McElhenneys, the Andrew Kellys, the two O'Reilly brothers playing inside, like all really, really good. And they're going to be going in full of confidence. And of course, the Michael Langan question is a big question. And there's talk of, will he fly home now? And, you know, an opportunity to get to a county final, get him home. We want to see him playing. We want to see the best players playing in the county semi-finals, and I'd love to see him back. So I would, you know.
Yeah, and I suppose looking at that, John, it's a difficult one, but it's a fantastic position to be in, St Michael's, in the semi-final now. But that they will get so much out of that victory against Kilcare.
Oh yeah, huge belief. But then again, they're playing, you know, Dunlow in exactly the same situation. They're not expected to be there. They had a big result over a very favoured and fancied Glenswally side. So it is the makings of an amazing game. They're both athletic, set up defensively, physically, and ultimately neither one of them have anything to lose right now. They're in bonus territory, and to get into a county final is a huge achievement for both clubs, given, you know, it was 64 and Michael's in the last 13 years. And going back to an earlier point that Brendan made, it's the one big bugbear I have with the championship, is that we seem to be now, because we didn't do things properly at the beginning, or the way the structures, to rush everything through right now. And in a novel semi-final like this, those two clubs should be given the opportunity to have 2 weeks to prepare for it, to have the buzz in the town. You can't replace days like that. And to have them bundled through in a rush to get to the back end of something, does the people of the parish, the people of the club, and those club players a disservice. It's okay for St Eunan's and Niamh Connell to a certain extent.
And even Gidor have a 6-day turnaround from a quarter final to a semi final. I don't think that's fair, because these players train so hard and work so hard and get themselves into such good condition. Any wee niggle or knock now, and players.
Like one of your main players gets a niggle the week before, 6 days recovery, he can't play to his full capacity. And like Niall O'Donnell, I don't think, was at full capacity against Niamh Connell. And the game has been decided by things outside of the talent of the players and the structure of the clubs themselves. Injuries, men away. It just seems to be a rush. And I think
this is our prime competition within the county, like, you know, within the club competitions. And to be rushing it 3 weeks in a row, St June's going out 3 Saturday nights in a row, Gidor were playing yesterday and they're out again next Saturday. Like, you know, I just think give them a week between quarterfinals, semi-finals.
Just to get those injuries, because I just know by talking to some of the St Michael's people yesterday, there's a few players that they have there that, you know, could be doubtful for the weekend. And look, I suppose the St Michael's against Dunlow, it's in McCool Park on Sunday at 3:30, Gidor against St Eunan's is at 7:30 on Saturday night. So it is, you know, it's a very quick turnaround, lads.
Yeah.
It's you know, if you look at professional football players in the UK and they play a couple extra games and they're whining about it, and there's no physicality at all in comparison to the way the GAA's played. I just think it's something we need to look at as a county. there's, if you look at the Tyrone County Championship, and it's, you know, they're given time, there's a league format, and then when it goes to knockout, they're given time between games. I just think that when you've given so much over the year, like these guys have been training since December,
yeah,
right? And the championship's over in 6 weeks. Yeah. It's like, what are we doing to players? And we're looking at player welfare in split seasons. Surely we have to respect our own club championship to the point where we had four amazing games over the weekend. The very least that those teams deserve is a couple of weeks to prepare to go out and give their best in a semi-final for an opportunity to go to a final. I don't think it's a lot to ask, and we should look at it as a county board and as a county to do better.
I think that point by John Breton, it's 100%, because you see it in smaller communities, like, you know, you go into Dunlow, massive tradition, you know, a week to build up to a county semi-final. It's very, very short. And St Michael's, you know, it's a huge occasion. Yeah.
Massive, and we've spoke. There's no recovery time if you do pick up a niggle. But apart from that, too, you've the support of the club, the excitement that will be down, and you know, St Michael's, Dunlow this week, getting to a semi final, knowing that they've a real, real opportunity of getting to a county final, and to have all that kind of pushed into the space of a week is too much, in my opinion. And it's nearly like we're trying to shoehorn the championship to get it run off as quick as possible, without enjoying it, without letting people enjoy it for what it should be, because this is our premier competition. We should be able to enjoy it to the best. And it's only 1 week, so I'm sure the shifts can be made and there'll be amendments made for next year, and that these things are taken on board.
Absolutely. Well, just looking at some of those fixtures for this weekend, as we indicate in the senior championship, it's St Michael's against Dunlow. McCool Park is the venue at Sunday at 3:30. On Saturday night, it's Gidore against St Unans at 7:30 in McCool Park as well. In the Senior B, the reserve, Gidore against Four Masters in McCool on Saturday at 5:30, and St Unans against Niamh Connell in McCool Park at 1:30. In the Senior C semi-finals, it's Sean McCool's against Niamh Connell in Glenfin on Saturday at 2:30, and St Unans against Terriman in Glenfin at 4 o'clock there as well. In the Senior Championship relegation playoff, it's Clonilly against St Noel's in Glenswally at 3 o'clock. And in the Intermediate Championship relegation, it's Letterkenny Gaels against Burton Convoy at 6 p.m. Okay, lads, we're going to get straight into it here. Saturday night, Gidore against St Unans. Suppose Brendan Devaney's going to close his ears on this one. But, John, suppose coming into this, obviously, all indications would point to St Unans as being favourites for this one.
Before we go there, and I think it's something we should mention, is another club that has had an amazing championship and was very unlucky in the weekend, and we could be talking about them right now, is Four Masters.
Yeah.
Very young side, developing, had a great championship, had some big victories, produced some fantastic moments throughout the championship, have some, you know, future county men in their ranks in the not too distant future, and ran Gidore to the pin of their collar. And, you know, again, coming down the straight with a couple of minutes to go, toss of a coin, you know, and Gidore managed to see it out. So it's important to recognise that as well. I know we spoke a lot about the other teams, and probably because they played earlier in the weekend, but a team that, you know, we're going to talk a lot more about over the coming years. But anyway, back to Gidore St Unans. As I said a couple of weeks ago, somewhat jokingly, after the Niamh Connell St Unans game in Glenties, we were really talking about the big one. And ultimately, I don't see any reason to change that. I think St Unans have, you know, a real chip on their shoulders this year. Beating Niamh Connell was a big deal for them for all sorts of reasons. And I don't think they want to take their eye off the ball right now, because beating Niamh Connell in a quarter final and then getting beat by Gidore in a semi final doesn't fit the script to a certain extent. Gidore have proven that they can beat St Unans, so they're not coming to make up the numbers as proud Gidore men. That's not going to change. They've come through the championship without being overly impressive, but they're there on merit. So it'll be a ding-dong. I would imagine it'll be very defensive. Gidore will put their bodies on the line and really have a go at it. But, you know, all things being equal, you know, and Gidore will be lighted with this because I've tipped against them twice so far. So I'm going for the hat trick now. And, you know, all things would suggest that, you know, it should be a Unans victory.
Yeah.
But it's a county semi-final, and anything can happen.
Yeah, and experience would tell me you never take Gidore for granted, because learned too much down through the years, you know, over the last 25 years, you know, we know the qualities they have. And this is a new Gidore team, but they still, you look at the spine of that Gidore team, Gary McFadden is still one of the best markers, man-to-man markers in the game. You look at Niall Freed, centre-back. Donal McGillibrand is playing the football, is playing really, really good. He's going to take stop, and so he is. And of course, you have Darrow Boyle, Owen De Burke is another player I like. So they will, Guy Doerr will relish going in as underdogs. Make no mistake about it. And they have the quality all over the field as a very youthful young team. There's no McGee's anymore. There's no Orr McNeilis. There's no Micheál Carroll. So, you know. Now, I think Unions will have learned from the game in the group stages out in the park. You know, the struggle to break them down. Guy Doerr set up very defensively that day. I think that Unions will have learned from that and will be expecting that again because that's what they're going to get. So they are on Saturday evening. So, listen, it's I wouldn't call it more than 50-50. Obviously, Unions are going to be hot favourites going in, but games between Guy Doerr and Unions take on a life of their own over the last number of years.
And reflecting on John's point earlier just about Four Masters and the campaign they had as well, Brian, you were there last night, yeah. And I suppose it was just a couple of maybe when Four Masters was in possession, you know, copping up that possession that cost them. They're going to take so much heart out of this year's competition.
They are, yeah, and I've seen them a couple of times now. I saw them against Glenswilly too, and I was very impressed with them. A lot of really good young players coming through, and they also have more coming in the next layer too that didn't, you know, that were just 16, 17 year olds. So Four Masters are definitely back, and they can be really pleased with their championship, the whole championship, and indeed yesterday. They'll take huge learnings from it because it was just experience at key times in the game that probably cost them unforced errors, turnovers, and, you know, but get back to it, they had a fantastic championship and they can hold their heads up proud. They got promoted to Division 1 in the league and that'll help them too, playing Division 1 football next year too, so it will.
And the physical aspect as well, John, it's something that takes time to develop as well as young players.
It does, and you know, there were two very similar teams. And to a certain extent, like Guy Doerr are a new side, as Brendan said. Maybe Guy Doerr are 2 or 3 years further ahead in the sense that they're a bit older. They're 21, 22, 23 exactly. Coming through. Yeah. And both these clubs are going to have a big say in the championship in the years to come because they're really building that base. And, you know, it takes a while. An 18-year-old versus a 25-year-old in the current environment is a wild difference. Big physical men, the game's gone like that. And, you know, years ago when Brendan and I were playing, you know, a corner forward could be a corner forward and he had to worry about his corner back, but that was about the height of it. Mm-hmm. Now with blanket defences, you know, nobody's one-on-one anymore. So that physical build and guys maturing physically is even more important than it was. But Guy Doerr found a way. Mm-hmm. They obviously were in a final last year, so it's not like it's anything new here. They won a semi-final last year. They know how it's done. Yeah. They were in a final last year. They'll learn from that. The worry I have is that I do believe, as Bren said, they'll set up defensively and they'll really try to shut it down. If Unions get ahead of steam up and then they have to come out of play, then that's going to cause them problems. And that's ultimately what happened in last year's county final. They set up defensively, they had a couple of chances, they didn't take them, and then they've Connell opened up and then the game ran away. But they're going to learn from all that. I expect it to be very cagey, intense, very physical, because they'll have to bring the physicality to it. Which is difficult against the Unions because, like, they're a big, strong physical outfit themselves. It's hard to bully them.
Yeah.
But, you know, Bren's right. As a Unions man, he has to go 50-50. But from a neutral perspective, to the delight of the Guy Doerr contingent yet again, I would have to favour the St Unions man.
Okay, thanks, lads, for that one. Before we let you go, of course, there's another big semi-final. It's St Michael's against Dunlow. And where do you start with this one, lads? This is going to be an exciting one. Really looking forward to this because this is going to go right down to the wire. Brendan?
Yeah, it is. And it's a difficult one to call as we've covered it, you know, two teams in the first semi-final in a long time. So it is a difficult one to call. You know, the Michael Langan factor, I think, will be a big factor in that too. So it will. But, you know, you're coming back and how ready you're going to be. I have a sneaking suspicion for some reason, and there's nothing scientific behind this, that Dunlow might just sneak it.
What do you think of that, John?
I'm not even going to comment because anything I say will be wrong, and I don't want to offend either club because it's a kiss of death at this point given this year's championship.
It was pointed out to me yesterday
I went into last week and I was going, right, there's always going to be a shock in the championship, you know, and I thought, you know, given the game, I thought Four Masters were the shock team for me, and then everybody else decided they were going to shock everybody. No, listen, I couldn't call it, and I genuinely couldn't call it because out of respect to both, I haven't seen enough of them this year to give you an honest opinion and say this, that, and other, it'd be just wrong of me. And as I said, I don't want to offend anybody in Dunloe or St Michael's, because I spend time down in Dunfanaghy and I know a lot of Dunloe people, and neither one of them want me to pick them, so I'm sitting on the fence, firmly on the fence.
John,
I'm sitting firmly on the fence. And then on
can I get back on the fence?
And then on the other side of the equation, I pick St Eunan's, so Gidor are delighted, and if Eunan's managed to mess it up, I don't know how unhappy I'm going to be either. So that's a different situation completely. And Brendan's giving me dirty looks through the glass here.
If spots and maybes, but it's going to be another exciting weekend to look forward to. Of course, it is the Michael Murphy Sports and Leisure Donegal Senior Football Championship semi-final stages on Saturday night. It's Gidor against St Eunan's in McCool Park. It'll be live here on Highland Radio Saturday Sport. And on Sunday, of course, is that crunch tie between St Michael's and Dunloe at 3:30 p.m. from McCool Park as well. We'll have full live coverage as well on Highland Radio Sunday Sport. You're listening to the DL Debate with myself, Pádraig Cullifferty. Big thanks to John Gilday for joining us, and Brendan Kilcoyne as
thanks,
well.
Pádraig.
Coming up after the break, Brendan Devaney, myself and Maureen O'Donnell will speak all about the Ladies Championship and how that's taken shape. Also, we'll reflect on the Intermediate Championship and the Junior Championship after these.
Yes, folks, welcome back. As Pádraig says at the break, we're going to talk about Intermediate and Junior, and then on to the Ladies, the big final coming up in the Intermediate Sunday, 6th of October at O'Donnell Park. Fascinating game. I seen Malineve Columba yesterday. It was a great game of football, Pádraig. But first of all, the Termin men, keen to make up from last year, you know, when they were touted to be the, you know, the big team. They got caught out by Downings, but listen, they look like they're this year. They're not going to leave any stone unturned, and that was a brilliant performance from them. I mean, we didn't see that level of victory coming. And Dara McDeigh, 2-5.
Dara, 2-5. You know, it was Dara's been doing that year in, year out. You know, he's been our go-to guy for scores for himself, Menda, McCormick as well. You know, have been flying the flag, but. No, look,
a great season, haven't they? When you know, the scores they're putting up has been great. No, we've a couple of very tough games, Pádraig. I mean, I was impressed with the 2-15, because there was a lot of teams seemed to really clamp them down and made the games real tough, foul, counter-attack games, but they seemed to find their mojo against Nivora.
I found their way, you know, and that was the big thing. But suppose Nivora will be scratching their heads, of course. I think it was Harry Harden got Nivora got a goal into the second half. Termin registered their first goal and you know, Nivora went straight up and responded with their goal, but Harry Harden got a black card at a crucial time, and suppose that bit of space opened up a little bit further for Dara and for the boys, you know, to create more opportunities, you know. But it was, look, from a Termin point of view, suppose we didn't score till about the 17th minute, I think, in the first half. You know, there was a bit of a breeze in O'Donnell Park and that, you know, but Nivora brought it, and, you know, they were full value for their performance going on at half time. But, you know, suppose there's an old saying, like, semi-finals are just about winning if you want to buy a point, or, you know, that's as good, you know. But suppose from a Termin point of view, you know, the lads put on a really good performance, and they'll be relieved to get over and into the final as well. But it's just another step, and, you know, that's the way they're going to look at it. And, you know, you've got Neve Columba in the final, and we played them, I suppose, in the group stages. I think it was the first game out at the Burn Road, you know, and we had a really, really good performance against them. So they'll be licking their lips, looking for revenge there as well. But it's going to, you know, it's going to be a good final. You know, Neve Columba like to play football, and, you know, it's one of those. You seen that game yesterday against Malin.
2-21, again, you know, good scoring in it, and, you know, there was a great atmosphere about the park and that, you know. And I thought, you know, at the start of the second half, obviously there was a rebound goal, put Neve Columba 260, 6 point up, serious driving seat there, right? So a lot of guts from Malin to come back in there, you know. And you know, they hit 1-3 in a row, and then they had a period there, but they got level and they had 4 opportunities, right, and they couldn't get ahead. I suppose you'd have to say, well done again, as the lads were saying earlier, you know, Neve Columba, that momentum switch to be able to, you know, to find your bit of rhythm again and kick on and eventually, you know, pull away again from Malin. It was big effort. 2 teams obviously were in the final the last 2 years, the 2 of them. So, you know,
Malin will be bitterly disappointed,
yeah,
like, you know.
They put in a big shift, but we played them earlier in the league.
Yeah.
I tell you, they're a good side. They got about us, you know, and I was impressed with them. So
decent and physical team, yeah, like, and have a lot of footballers across.
Doing a lot of work, good work down there. You know, you'd have to say they give it their all. You know, that's the thing about it. I suppose if you leave it out there, you know, you can't have that many complaints. Just Steve Clumber had that wee bit extra on the day.
And you look at Glenn, they've been knocking on the door for a number of years in this intermediate, you know, and it's going to, look, it's going to be, you're hoping it's going to be a cracking final, and I do believe, because in finals, you just, you have to go for it, I think, Brendan, you know, you have to throw off the shackles a wee bit, and that kind of bring, it's a different game, really, you know.
I can't wait for these finals. Plus, they're in times when it's just their own park, and you can properly, you know, there's no senior on, you know, you can go out and watch them and take time and see them, and that's the big thing. Of course, the day before that intermediate final, the junior final's on. I'm brilliant pairing in this too. I'm really looking forward to this. You know, Karen has been my tip at the start of the season. Had a brilliant victory over St. Mary's Convoy. Fergal Doherty, the main man there, won 3. His goal to start the second half, caught a bad kick out from the Convoy keeper, was the pivotal score, and Karen pushed on from there. And that's setting up a brilliant... Listen, Eve Patrick, Muff, I mean, they are the goal kings. They
4 been, goals against...
And that was out, the big Lynch lad up front to him, he was in the county under-20s. He came on sub, bangs a goal and gets involved a couple. He had a hat-trick the week before. Like, he has a handful. And, you know, you look at it, 4.77, you know, and... That's a massive victory for them on the day. And, you know, you talk about goals. McColgan, the County Star, 1-1. He plays more up front, forward for them. So, you know, if they're going in, you hit the onion bag. You know, you look at that game, what separates them. And I think that's set up. I think that's the best two teams in that. I'm glad that they're the two teams that have made the
final. Karen has been doing great things, you know, and it's going to be a good final, as you've indicated. But that's the old saying, the goals won games. And if you've got a lad who's got an eye for a goal.
It was a big season from Neve Olton as well. Listen, they did give it their all in terms of, they had some very impressive performances on there themselves. I did Mary's Convoy, but I just think Cairn, for me, they're the best two teams. That's set up for a cracking encounter as well. Hopefully the weather holds at O'Donnell Park, and we look forward to these games. We're also going to talk now with the great Maureen O'Donnell. Mo, you're waiting patiently there to give us a bit of update on the ladies. How are you keeping?
Do you want the truth?
The whole I'm truth and nothing but the truth.
Don't get me wrong, it was an epic weekend of football, but I need a week's break.
I know. Charles, you were everywhere. I was chatting you up at the men's game yesterday. I was telling you that I'd seen St. Union's against Mavilla in the big semi-final, and we were talking about that block that he put in and how difficult it is to break down in that moment. And I suppose, you know, 5-1 down at half-time, they did come back to 6-4, and when Union's probably desperately needed a goal... It was Mavilla got it, and you could see that bit of experience and defensive shape. You know, that was the pivotal score in the game, Mo, and really set up. I mean, for you, do you think that is the final, more than I just said with the junior there? Two good teams now, Mavilla and Termon, coming into this final.
Yeah, listen, I'm sure St. Union's will be highly disappointed as well, but in a semi-final stage, you know, they went without scoring for 33 minutes, so it's a very long period of time for that to happen. They also kicked 10 wide. So you can imagine how in the game they would have been had they converted those as well. So, you know, they're going to have to go back to the drawing board. But look, certainly a contender for the future. They're sitting up there with 13 titles. Termon have yet to catch them. They're on 8 and they're going for 9. But it's nice this year, you see, with Mavilla and Termon, because for the last 5 years it's been Termon, Glenfinn, and Glenfinn, as you know, aren't in the contention at all this year. So it's nice to see Mavilla come into it. Mavilla will probably be disappointed that they don't have the two McLaughlin sisters. You know, they're missing those. They're both gone to Australia. Fine footballers, Niamh McLaughlin, our county captain, and her sister, Blanet. But Mavilla are doing very, very well. You know, they still have Niamh Higgerty in their entire Higgerty. They have Niamh Kate McLenahan. They have Niamh Skelly in the middle of the field. Sarah Faulkner in there. Great experience in the team still. And they've, you know, a wealthy youth coming up through it as well. So Kate McLenahan's a very smart, strong player too, you know. Right. And she pairs up well with Niamh Higgs. Great pace.
Yeah. I just going to say, Mo, like, people have to step up. You know, we were just chatting earlier about the likes of St. Michael's, Langan going away. Because people were saying then, oh, Langan's gone now, that's your opportunity. Yet they won the match. So, you know, sometimes we look at these good players going, of course they're a miss, but it's not as if you're playing with 13. You know, other girls will step up into the play and it'll force them to be better in their position.
Yeah, and, you know, sometimes, and you've seen it happening with teams, is that, look, players rely too heavily on these players, these more experienced, the county players, the big stars, you know, and, you know, they just sort of are always kind of in their shadow. And We look at the kind of the men's game over the weekend there, Glenn Swilly. Like, you know, everybody's looking to Michael Murphy for the big performance, and then nearly when he doesn't play, because you expect him to play, the same as Geraldine or Niamh Hegarty or anything, when they're expecting to play, then if they don't play, nobody else steps up to the plate. So sometimes when these players, you know, aren't there, these other players come to the fore and shine, and that's exactly as you say, because these big players aren't going to be around forever. So it's great to see young players coming into the team, and look, Termin have some great young players coming up there, and Mavell have some great young players, and I've seen it now from watching the games, there's a lot of good young players coming into it, and that's what we need for County as well. You know, we need the standards to go up, because we won't have these experienced players forever, you know, Brendan, so it is really, really good.
Well, just on Termin, you know, we used to see these score lines a good bit in ladies football. You don't see them as much now, but the 6-9, you know what I mean? You talk about, we were just chatting about Niamh Patrick and goals now. Obviously, Niamh Connell, 2-7, is not the worst score line, but, you know, they're improving as ever. But, I mean, we're back to this serious, you know, goal threat that Termin possess, and they blitz Niamh Connell with that ability.
Yeah, and they also played, you know, Niamh Wara the week before that, and the group stages, the end of the group stages, and, you know, Niamh Wara having only coming up into senior as well, so there was a lot of goals in the game. And look, Termin of the capability of scoring goals, you know, they're still dotted with so much experience there in Termin, Roisin McCaff, Roisin Frail, Evelyn McGinley's in there from St. Michael's, like Shannon McLaughlin, Kieran McGarvey, all playing up, Emer Gallagher, all playing county still at the minute. And then, you know, Orla Corey and Geraldine, I mean, when Geraldine's in the forward line, you know, a lot of teams go out specifically to try and mark her and to try and stop the supply of ball in there. And, you know, they're nearly going out with a game plan for that, and instead of trying to, and that's why it becomes so defensive. Then they set up behind the ball to try and stop the play, supply of ball into Geraldine, and maybe two and three players on her. So it becomes very, very defensive, but still goals. And then, you know, like, they're not attacking then. They're not, you may as well go out and try and win the game, as it doesn't matter how much you lose by. I know you said 6 goals, 9 goals, whatever. It doesn't really matter what. These teams are losing while in a defensive setup instead of attacking as best they can, you know, Brendan.
Right. So the mantra would be, Mo, you got to build on that attack, and even if you shift some like defeats in that, you're going to grow into that. Otherwise, if you just sit and you've been opened up anyway, you're not going to evolve as a team.
Well, you're not really, and you end up playing your team based on another team, you know, so... Yeah. You know, why not play to your own strategy, or bring your own strategy or your own team play to it? New passages of play, passages of attack. Like, as I say, it's the same losing by 20 points as it is 1 point. So instead of setting up defensively, go at it. And just, you know, as Mavell said yesterday, Niamh Higgs said yesterday, we've nothing to lose, so we're going to go into this game, you know. And most teams going in against Termin have nothing to lose, you know, and you have everything to gain by maybe overturning them. And look, you probably could predict that Termin would win at this stage. You know, in terms of the ladies' football, it's more predictable at the minute. But what I say about all games is that any team is beatable on the day. Yeah. So, Brendan, it doesn't really matter. Like, Mavell haven't been in a final now since since 2018. They were in 2016, 17 and 18. They won it in 2016. They got beat by Glenfinnan then 2 years after that. But Termin have never won a final against Mavell. They were last met in the final in 2009, and I think Mavell beat us by 7 points that day. So listen, oh,
yeah, you remember that one, Mo. Listen, that's a good wee warning sign. That's how we're going to leave it, Mo. Thanks so much for that roundup, as ever. All my guests this evening, Mo, we'll be talking again, and there'll be a bit more time as well. Listen, quick shout out to Paul Houston. McCool's man is over Roger Casement's there. They're in the Warwickshire final at the weekend. We've done a goal, boys, all involvement. Their captain is Shaney Boyle from Kilcare, Jack Gillespie and Oisin McElhinney from Red Hughes.
Best of
and
luck,
of course,
lads.
Dean Boner from Mary's Convoy. Good luck to Donegal boys in that game.
25 years since you're 14. 25 years since you're 14 points.
Okay, I'll history. Cheers, folks.
Good luck.